Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the Sun entering the zodiac sign of Scorpio on October 23rd, 2017 at 1:27 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The next day is United Nations Day. Listen as we discuss the advantages of this solar aspect on collective bargaining. The world is smaller than it has ever been, and communication has expanded. We will discuss possibilities regarding a global movement toward harmony. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness, and join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and create peace on earth. So Swami, what I thought I would do first is talk to our listeners a little bit about United Nations Day. And United Nations Day is actually October 24th every year, and United Nations marks the 72nd anniversary of the UN Charter's entry into force and celebrates everything that the UN represents and has achieved since its establishment in 1945. Aside from world peace, its role has grown to include protecting human rights, promoting social and economic development, and providing aid around the world in cases of famine, natural disaster, and armed conflicts. So I thought it would be interesting as I took the word united, I thought we could talk about that, and of course I Googled the definition for united, and it means to join together politically for a common purpose produced by joint action. And then I took one step further, and then I wanted to define unity, and unity is being together or at one with someone or something, and it's the opposite of being divided, and that's what interests me the most when I read that, the opposite of being divided. And isn't that what we've been talking about in all these shows is trying to get that relationship with the divine, and we don't have it, there is that division.
Yeah, I would agree with you that the problem with the world is our inability to see our sense of connectedness to the sustaining infinite. And I also think it's interesting that when the sun enters Scorpio on today, or, you know, it's actually in Scorpio now, Scorpio is the sign of renewal, transformation, death and rebirth. And it's the department of life that deals with the values of others and joint resources. And of course, in Kriya Yoga, the ultimate joint resource is the union of the individual with the divine. It's our connection to spirit that really ignites human potential. It's what starts the progressive cycle. It's what enables us to start to see ourselves as an intricate part of something greater. And of course, it changes the exchange of energy that we have with our environment. All the changes that take place with this union with the divine is really where I think the hope of humanity is.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a wonderful place to be, living in a world like that? And I think the United Nations does try to do that in the physical sense, try and unite governments and countries to make a difference in the world. And as we say, too, is is what surrounds us is within us. So if we can have this, as you say, if we can unite with our divinity, then all things are possible. Then we can really start making community changes, town changes, state changes, country changes, and global changes.
Yeah, the whole thing of acting local and then, of course, thinking globally, that the responsibility really is on the individual initially. And when you look at where the problems stem from with regard to why we are disconnected, why there is so much conflict in the world today, why people are waging war against each other, and it's all going to come down to the simple fact that we don't feel like we're good enough. We don't feel connected to something pure, powerful, and sacred. So we feel we're in fear is basically what drives everything that we do. And until we can start to educate ourselves and maybe change our educational paradigm completely, that things really probably won't get any better going about it the way that we're going about it. We're trying to fix the problem from the outside, and it's really a spiritual problem.
So you're saying that it does stem from this fear and probably anxiety and all those other kind of feelings that go along with that. So how do we drill down to find what is the main basis of our fear? Because we have to know what it is before we can fix it.
Yeah, and that's where I think to find solution, you're really going to have to understand the role of religion in the world. You're going to have to understand the importance of God in the whole equation of humanity, that without God as a source of sustenance, and I'm not talking about the anthropomorphic images that most of us have equated this concept of God with, that we have given God human-like qualities with superhuman powers, a mix of good and evil, a God that punishes and at the same time rewards, that a God that has mood swings, that's really not the way that it plays out. And until we really can update our concept of what the divine really is, that God, first of all, is the force right now that is supporting all life, and it's good, and it is productive of peace, love, happiness, and goodness, provided that we give it its due, that we have attention for it. That's where the problems start to manifest, is when we're disconnected from this resource, this source of sustenance that produces peace, love, happiness, and goodness in the individual. And so if we're drawing from a resource of energy that is limiting, and we're drawing from fear and limitation, then the physics kicks in, like attracts like. And on a very fundamental level, if you don't feel good enough, if you have that chronic anxiety that the world isn't going to provide for me, You can fall prey to things like greed and anger, and then, you know, this whole thing of warfare and feeling threatened by, and then of course trying to fix it with more weapons and trying to fix it with more power doesn't really seem to be working. And yet we really don't have a better plan in place.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, I'm thinking to myself, and it's just so unfortunate, but all those things that you're talking about are really good for our economy. You know, the defense economy in particular that employs thousands and thousands of people in this country alone. And that got me to thinking that, that the Bible says something about beware of like lesser gods. And I think we've put money in that role of a lesser god, and that's what we're ruled by. And I think it's that fear, that the fear of not having enough money or whatever it brings us, that is that's number one on a lot of people's list.
Yeah, and I agree with you that when you have put money in that position of importance that it doesn't warrant, it creates this failure force that, of course, spills out globally, actually happening, and how we make our decisions and what is valuable to us. And I think that's a big part of the Scorpio myth, is this concept of what is valuable to others. And the United Nations as an organization is really, I think, built on seeing the value of others. But the way we go about it is that we are trying to protect the things that are visible and tangible. And one of the things in Kriya Yoga that we talk about is the whole concept of being able to fight with spiritual weapons. And to even understand, well, what does that look like when I'm doing it? What is a spiritual weapon? And you think of the power of prayer or the power of collective consciousness. And on an even deeper level, you think of the power of Almighty God, and to be in tandem with divine law, seeking expression, which is trying to bring about peace, love, happiness, and goodness collectively. And why is it that we don't have that? And the reason is we don't have attention for it. We're looking to the world for our solution, and we're not looking for the power of spiritual understanding.
Well, we had a conversation earlier today when I had made a comment to you about a commercial that I had heard, and it said, well, it's important to save money. And then you started talking about, well, why is that important? And I said, well, because collectively it's, we're taught that we need money to be able to, save it for a rainy day. You need to have it for retirement. You need to have it for these many things. So I think that is, to getting back to, our economy, our economics, that is a main source of our fear is money. And it is, we are continually being bombarded with that continuously daily.
Yeah, and isn't that what they tell us in the Bible, that we really must give up everything and follow the Lord, and to turn everything over to the Lord? And when we do that, though, then we're out of the fear, because that's the thing that I think anybody will tell you, is that it doesn't matter how much money you have. It's never going to be enough. It doesn't matter how many weapons you have. You're still going to feel that you're not good enough, because that's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the manifested world, that things are dualistic. They're in half. And one of the major things that we're all dealing with is an innate drive that we want to be whole and we want to be complete. And the only way that we can achieve that is by joining with the resource that will provide us with the return. And that's where this concept of God is so important and yet missing.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll return with you shortly. Kriya Yoga Theory 1. Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine, a complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, last week, I believe on the last radio show, you had given to us a quote from Paramahansa Yogananda that talked about unity. Would you mind sharing with that quote with us again this week?
Yeah, the one that the astrology one, that he said that the wise man defeats his planets, which is to say his past, by transferring his allegiance from creation to the creator. The more he realizes his unity with spirit, the less his domination by matter. The soul is ever free. It is deathless because birthless. It cannot be regimented by stars. If you live by astrology or anything else, you will be bound by it. Depend wholly and solely on God. Live by God alone. Then nothing can hurt you.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that. I like that quote a lot, especially like when he says the more he realizes his unity with spirit, the less his domination by matter. And isn't that what we're just talking about earlier in the show?
Yeah, that's the thing that we have to understand, is this concept in religion of conversion, that we go from a human that has material beliefs to a human being that now has spiritual beliefs. That's, I think, an important thing to understand, because religion today has really deteriorated. I mean, what we call religion isn't religion at all. It doesn't bring about this unity with the divine. You're joining a group for the most part, and you get the benefit of group dynamic, but you don't get the benefit of reliance on the divine. And I think that would be key, that if we could come up with a new world religion that produced unity with the divine, because it is that unity with the divine that really brings inner peace. You can't have world peace without inner peace. Mm-hmm. And you can't have inner peace without unity with the divine. And that's, I think, where if you're looking for a solution to what's going on in the world, that's where your answer will be found. Otherwise, we're trying to fix things from the outside world. And it's just never going to work that way.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about the religions. But I think it boils down to is, we really need to understand what God is. Can you give us a definition of what you believe God is?
Yeah, again, very important. You don't want to be thinking that God is the cosmic puppeteer. You don't want to think of God as an authoritarian figure with human qualities. Discoveries of quantum physics, I think you would think that the world would have come to a better realization and a better understanding of what we call the science of spirituality, the physics of spirituality. That reality is multidimensional, and that if we understand God as the force right now that is supporting our lives, and that a conversion requires this internalization or a change of going from somebody that relies on things visible and tangible or things invisible and tangible to an individual that relies on something invisible and intangible. That's the only thing that faith is really required. There's a certain degree of trust without reservation, that if I lean on this void or this nothing, that it will sustain me. Then you start to see religion as a practical guide for highly effective living. You get the benefit of internal support, that the scriptures that are talking about this, changing your allegiance from creation to the Creator, has merit.
Yeah, and then I think we get to that point where we won't need medicines anymore, right? We won't need weapons. We won't need that because, as you say, as you always say, is that, you know, once you have that connection with the divinity, you don't need those other things. You're a human in the adult state.
Right, and then think of the ramifications of that, that all of a sudden now you've got this global health plan that is way more reliable than the Western medical model. And you also have it a benefit of a resource-based economy, so that we're not graveling for money or things in the material world, but we have the abundance of spiritual awareness, that this void, this nothing, is a resource out of which everything comes. And it's more reliable, it's more dependable than the outside world. Inner peace.
Right. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a sentence that we have in the summary, when we say, the world is smaller than it has ever been, and communication has expanded. So, like the United Nations tries to get countries globally to get involved with the problems and solutions to make these changes worldwide, we could also use each other individually, globally, to start making these changes that we had talked about before. And what comes to my mind is the power of prayer.
Yeah, the power of prayer is enormous, provided that it is prayer. Because audible prayer doesn't have the same power as spiritual understanding. Audible prayer oftentimes is somebody is petitioning their concept of what they think God is as this authoritarian figure, and we're asking for things in a particular way. Whereas spiritual understanding is a recognition that everything divine is perfect, whole, in complete balance, harmony, and there isn't really anything that has to be changed. That's a completely different perspective that we live our lives from. When you understand that God is peace, love, happiness, and goodness, and it is continuously being poured out to us, and what really has to change is our recognition of that. We're not looking in the right place, that we're preoccupied with the things that are visible and tangible or invisible and tangible. We're limiting ourselves by using just sensual awareness. And from doing that, we don't understand, even say, for example, in the Lord's Prayer, where it says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, of course, most of us, or at least I have been guilty of this myself, is that I've always thought that the will of God was circumstances as they are. So in other words, if I was trying to overcome some sort of sickness or illness or adverse abnormality in my life, that I thought that that was God's will. And that my will was that I wanted things to be back to normal, back in harmony, that there would be solution to symptoms or find a cure for whatever was going on. But in reality, it doesn't play that way. That the kingdom of heaven is just pure peace, love, harmony, and goodness, and that that is what God's will is. If there's discord, if there is sickness or disease, then that is my will, and that is what has to be changed. But to turn it over to thy will and to bring things back into perfect balance and harmony is, I think, 180 degrees from the way most of us are viewing things.
So are you saying that when we pray, we have to pray with those qualities, and we do it not audibly, but we do it with, I'm going to say thought, for lack of a better word, but thought with the intentions of those qualities that you mentioned?
Well, actually, it's more of an understanding that whatever it is that we think God is perfect. That creation is already perfect and whole and complete. And what is preventing us from seeing that is our own limiting thoughts and beliefs.
So, Swami, if we can demonstrate those qualities that you mentioned before, like peace, love, happiness, and goodness, if we can do those, that should be able to move us forward to that global movement towards harmony that we mentioned in our summary.
Right. That's how we make the connection. Initially, we have to demonstrate divine qualities until eventually we join with the unified field. And then, of course, we become spirit. We become divine by nature. And that translates into thinking with God as God, where we're reflecting our godlike qualities. But we're not trying to do that anymore, that becomes your nature. And that's the whole thing that when we talk about the Chinese proverb, getting the light in the soul, then beauty in the person, harmony in the home, honor in the nation, peace in the world, that this connection with divine law seeking expression has enormous benefit that comes with it. And that's why once you have actualized that and you're able to demonstrate that, then you start to see that this could be solution to a lot of the problems that most of us are just hacking at the branches of the problems, trying to fix things from the outside with laws or charities or any other material means, that there is a spiritual solution to unification on a global level.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm reminded again of that, of two things. And the first one is that quote that you had said by Paramahansa Yogananda, and that is, depend wholly and solely on God. Live by God alone. And then what you always say, put God first.
Yeah, that sums it up. But it's going from knowing to doing, which becomes the quantum leap. And then when you're able to demonstrate, because what is God? If we don't know what that is, mm-hmm. and we're connected to an inferior agent, then we don't get the same result.
And that's why we have Kriya Yoga in our Theory 2 class that we invite everybody to join us in on, so you can take yoga off the mat and apply it to your life. So I think with that, it's probably about time to start bringing down the show to a close. So I would like to invite your listeners out there to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make posts about this show or comments, and maybe give us ideas for future shows. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because we enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. to our Facebook Live sessions that we have every week. And other than that, we'll be back next week with another show for you. We'll be celebrating Halloween. So, Swami, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to remind everybody that the Kriya Yoga method is first we divide and conquer before we unite and stand. That you have to be real careful what you're joining with. To join with divine law seeking expression gives us what it is that we're looking for. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.